And there we go, everyone. We are back again for another fantastic conversation on Friday Night Counterattack. And this week you are in for a treat because we are doing our, I'd say it's our finale, isn't it? It's our trilogy. It's our trilogy, I would say, of The Streets Will Never Forget. But we're going to Asia for this one. And we're going to change it a bit for this one because for those of you who do know what we're talking about, we've done two episodes of The Streets Will Never Forget, African edition and South American edition. But because it's Asia, and we have obviously my favorite Asian media person besides me, I can't say his number two on the list, but he is my favorite.
I'll take number two.
It's Mr. Daniel Khan, because he's actually in professional media in football. I'm just here on Friday Night Counterattack and other places as well. Find them on YouTube, which is great. But Daniel Khan, are you ready? Well, actually, no. I'm getting too ahead of myself. I'm too gassed for this draft. First of all, how are you? Congratulations on your recent gigs. It's good to see you. And yeah, I will hype you up a bit. Working with Luton Town, working with the Premier League, working with Arsenal, as you always do as well. Great things have happened. And the fact that we recently met as well at Wembley, that was a really good meeting as well. So it's good to hear you back on the podcast. It's good to see you again, my friend. How are you doing? Let the people know.
Yeah, I'm good, brother. Thank you very much. Just moving and shaking, obviously. Made my Saturday Social debut, my Premier League debut. But I would rank meeting you outside Wembley along those achievements as well as something that was high up there for me. So that's it, bro. Moving and shaking and looking forward to 2024 with more opportunities and more vibes. Obviously, for the culture, it was a great opportunity to interview Ranveer Singh and like do a little walk and talk with him. Combining like my culture with my love of football for the Premier League was a big moment for me. And more to come, bro. More to come. That's it.
Definitely. I mean, I gave you a food recommendation outside Villa Park when you went to the game, but I knew because Arsenal lost, I wasn't sure if you were still going to go. So, mate, like, if you ever go back to Birmingham, I've got a few spots for you if you need to be introduced to them, which would be good fun.
Sure, you're gonna have to take me. But yeah, as you know, as soon as we didn't get the 3 points, I was out of there.
I know the feeling. Nothing. You don't want to do anything regarding content or chatting to anyone. Just let me go home. That's how it goes, my friend. But yeah, honestly, like I'll get Friday Night Counterattack to pick up the bill when we next meet. We'll call it customer expenses.
Perfect. Business expenses. I love it.
It needs to be done, my friend. But no, really good to have you on. Really good to see you, like I said, at Wembley, and especially really good to see how well you're doing in the football media world, which is fantastic. And here's to a very successful 2024 and potentially seeing each other further down the line as well this summer. Wink, Absolutely. Wink, nudge, nudge.
Absolutely.
Needs to be done. But yeah, before I got all gassed up and I did a whole Stormzy on Capital One thing of mumbling and waffling like I did earlier. Sorry, Stormzy. We're going to do our trilogy. So what we did last season was quite fun, actually. We did a five-a-side Streets Will Never Forget South American edition where Mr. Khan rightly called me out for putting Kaká in the Streets Will Never Forget edition. As he's not Streets Will Never Forget. He's the Ballon d'Or winner.
Embarrassing.
I did it for the W. That's all I did it for. So I was too gassed to have Mr. Daniel Khan on the podcast. So like, I need to show him some love, but I need to make sure I win this draft. But I think by default we may call that one a tie. Then we had our African edition, Streets Will Never Forget African edition, where you had Kanu in your team as well. And the African Cup of Nations is happening in January alongside the Asia Cup as well. So a lot of people are leaving their domestic clubs as well, which will be a great topic of conversation to come. Later down the line. I know, again, I think you won that one personally. I really like my team, but I think you've got a very good one as well. And the fact you shared with me your story about your teacher, about Kanu having the paper of Kanu.
Yeah, Mr. Bardi. Yeah. He loved it. And yeah, that for me, like that was, I never forget it. Like that's the first time I heard about that headline. And then obviously for years when they show Kanu's goal and the commentator says it, I always go back to that moment. So yeah, man, heritage.
You need to remember as well, like, Kanu's won an FA Cup with Portsmouth as well, which was crazy. And you've
still against Cardiff 2007, I remember.
Crazy.
Was it 2007 or 2008?
2008. They beat Man United on road to it as well, which was not great at all. But yeah, for our finale of our trilogies of The Streets Will Never Forget, we're scrapping The Streets Will Never Forget because we are representing Asia for this one as well. And full disclaimer alert, if you think Australia and New Zealand are Asian players, you are mistaken. They are done. They are gone out here. If they're going to play in the Asia Cup, that's fine, according to FIFA as well. But realistically speaking, I'm not going to put Miles Jindrak or Mark as Asian players. It won't make sense to me at all. And a bit more freedom as well. So there's not going to be a limit in terms of what countries you can pick. It's free for all, my friend. So if you want to go for all Omani players or if you want to go for all Qatari players, choice is yours. I'm very happy for that. More along. So the vibe for this one is one, the vibe for whole 2024. If we're not finishing our podcast laughing and having a good time with one another, then it doesn't matter. Like, we're here to go through some throwback names, some players who are playing really good football now as well, and trying to make sure that we can show off our football knowledge in the meantime, which is good fun as well. Five aside, wild card. Obviously, I'm the host with the most, so I'm always going to let our guests choose their wild card. So if you had to go anywhere... Did you see the Illuminati thing? What was that?
I have no idea what that was, I'll be honest. I've just been, like, my energy has been so pumped into getting into this draft that I have no explanation for what just happened there, I'll be honest.
My energy is just not there. Like, as people know, we make our list beforehand as well. And I'm just like, nah, there's no list. So I have no clue who I'm going for. I'm not even sure some of these countries are actually Asian as well.
Sorry, disclaimer as well. I don't have a list either.
That's fine. That's how we're rocking and rolling for this.
We're about to go vibe for vibe. And I tell you, can we swear on this?
Yeah, you can swear.
When you said we're scrapping the streets, we'll never forget. You done fucked up. You done fucked up, Chief. I'm coming for you, Chief. I'm ready.
There'll be some picks on this list when I'm just looking like, why the hell did I not think of him?
But I'm ready.
We're ready for it. So without further ado, everyone, be sure to play along at home. Be sure to send us in your all-time streets we'll never forget / non-streets where everyone will know these. Asian five-a-side of all time, which should be good fun. And yeah, let's crack on, Mr. Khan. So you can go wherever you want in the pitch for this one. We're playing on the high rises of Tokyo. We're playing in that Fast and Furious vibe pitch as well. I actually went there as well in Japan in 2016. That is
crazy.
I didn't get to play. My cousins were like, let's just go see it. I'm like, that's cool. Do you have a football? No. Okay, let's just go see it. We saw it. But it didn't look good as the aerial footage that we saw on Fast and Furious and you see on Instagram as well.
I love it, though.
When you get to host the Asia Cup in Japan further down the line, you'll be able to play on it as well. You'll be playing with some legends as well. And which legend are you picking, first of all, Mr. Khan?
So I'm starting at the back because I'm not aware of too many goalkeepers and I want to get that out of the way because I can fight you for others.
Don't do this to me.
I'm going for a man whose skincare routine is very underrated. I met him in Qatar at the World Cup and he was a kind gentleman. We shared a little sweet treat together courtesy of FIFA. What was it? I think I had like a chocolate kind of pot thing and he had like a strawberry kind of situation. I remember. Oh, nice. Yeah. So and it was great to chat to him. He was a great vibe. He signed some goalkeeper gloves for a few up and coming goalkeepers. His name is Ali Alhabzi,
my boy. I mean, he was my numero uno between the sticks, so I'm very happy that you've gone for him as well.
But I love Ali Alhabzi. Like, I think a great keeper. Really enjoyed his time at Wigan. And I want to know, was he in that FA Cup winning team, or was that?
I think he was.
Was that Kirkland or Alhabzi?
I think it was Alhabzi.
Yeah. Well, there we go then. FA Cup winner.
Mm.
Yeah.
FA Cup winner, the first Omani to win it as well, which was crazy.
Certified legend.
The fact with Alhabzi as well is he still did the... What did he do? He still went to play for Al Hilal as well before they actually became famous and won the Saudi champions as well in 2019, which goes to show how long his career went, which is crazy. But with Alhabzi, before we get on to my goalkeeper, do you see how recently he played in a charity game for Palestine FC as well and he saved the penalty?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Ah, yeah, it's very cool. So basically, Ali Alhabzi was part of an initiative in Qatar where Palestine were raising money for charity in Palestine in Qatar. And Ali Alhabzi was one of the superstar players. And just like you said, he had a bit of a strawberry thing when he met you. But in reality, like he was so sweet in goal, it's like he should still be playing as well.
Let's go, wordsmith. Yeah, so I've got Ali Alhabzi in goal. I think he's a top. And I'll be very impressed if you find me a better keeper from the region than him.
No, it's not happening, but I'm going to go for a keeper who I think is quite comfortable for me to go for as well. Realistically speaking, I'm not going to go for Matt Ryan because he's Australian and Australians are not going to be ones for me as well, respectively. So I'm going to go for a goalkeeper who I just like his name. I think his name is very cool. And the fact that he played at the World Cup for Japan is very, very cool to see him go through his way. And I'm going to go for Gonda. Gonda's my goalkeeper for Japan. And realistically speaking, we don't see many Asian goalkeepers in Europe. And I really wanted to see more of him going forward. But seeing him in the World Cup, it's like when you see, what's his name? Ochoa in the World Cup. You don't watch him at like Shoax, or you don't see him at like Club Monterrey.
Yeah. You just see, you're spot on. Ochoa is probably the best example of that in the world. Yeah, like every 4 years, he's like, we're like, which big club's going to sign him? And then he goes and plays for Real Sociedad or Valencia or something.
It's something random like that. And it's like the backup keeper and he doesn't play, but he's always first choice for Mexico.
Yeah, incredible keeper.
It's true. But yeah, Gonda, for me, he was the Asian Cup winner in 2011 for Japan as well. He represented Japan 38 times for his country, but he always played abroad as well. So he always played in Tokyo, played for Shimizu, Pulse and Sagan Tosu as well. Clubs I've never heard of before today. Well, I know about FC Tokyo, but that's all I can say really. But I just like the fact he's at the World Cup with Japan as well. And you can see why I've gone for a team of just any nation possible. So I'm very happy with who I've got there as well. Yeah. Which is good fun. Right. Amazing. Then, it's a free-for-all now, so you can play whatever positions you want. You can play four strikers if you want, Mr. Khan. We're in Tokyo. We're playing on the high rises.
I think I'm gonna keep it balanced. I think I'm definitely gonna have a defender in there before I go buck wild. But for me, let me just think, just in case I've missed out someone from this list that maybe I could have in. Should I do it? Should I just do it just to be glamorous?
Let's hear it.
Should I go for Kim Min-jae? Oh, go on then.
How dare you?
Do you know what?
I thought you were going to go closer to home for this one.
No, so I was going to go for Maya Yoshida, but I love
him. Have you really forgotten who you got at Arsenal?
Oh, Tommy.
Yeah. Not going for your boy.
Oh.
Did you forget? Don't do this to me. Come on now.
Yeah, no, that is ridiculous. But is it ethical for me to like come with my idea and then you tell me who I forgot and then I jump ship?
If you want. I'll take Tomoyasu, but I'm like, I can't take your boy off you. Do you know
what I mean? Do I have to take the L or can I take my boy Tommy?
Take him if you want. Is yours going to take it? You can't go for Southampton's Mayo Yoshida. Come on now.
I've ruined my credibility, but I'm going for Takehiro Tomiyasu.
Oh, what a player. I really like him.
He's dynamic, super fit. So five-a-side, we've got him. He's got great height on him. Not amazing on the ball, but super great in the tackle. So I reckon I could just leave him in that back line and he'll take care of the rest.
Oh, that's excellent. That's a really good one to go for as well. In the back for me, I'm not going to go for him. Yeah, I'm going to be shameless for this one. I go for Kim Min-jae. I was going to go for Sun Ji-hai.
Wait, so you took my guy?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
It was a bit of 4D chess.
Now, listen, we're 1-1 on the credibility ruined meter.
We need to talk about Kim Min-jae though, but the fact that he came literally out of nowhere at Napoli last season, played for them for one season and won the league, and now is at Bayern Munich, absolutely smashing it. Dare I say, the first choice centre back at Bayern Munich now. Is there more of a ceiling for him? Because he reminds me a bit when Thiago Silva broke onto the scene at AC Milan. We didn't see him out of nowhere. He was at 24, 25 when he came into the Serie A, and he looked like he'd been playing there forever. And now we've seen him at Bayern Munich, and you're just like, he's one of the best defenders, centre backs in Europe, and he's got class personified all around him from what I'm seeing as well. But can we see more from Kim Min-jae? So, what do you think?
Has he been? It was a bit rocky at the beginning at Bayern.
Mm.
It was a bit rocky at the beginning. Is he still in the lineup?
Yeah, we're still in the lineup.
Well, now Bayern are well and truly cooking, so you know it's kind of one of those where he's like found his rhythm. And I think moving to a team like Bayern that is so, they're quite structured. I think they leave their front line to do something a little bit more dynamic. Like Leroy Sané seems to have, at certain points, he seems to have this trigger where he's allowed to go and have a free roam while Harry Kane kind of drops a little deeper. But from the midfield back, they seem to have a very clear structure of how they want to play, which is very similar to, I guess, defending for an Italian outfit. So, yeah, Kim Min-jae, great player. And I would be very surprised if he was... Well, he's already playing for one of the top five clubs in the world, but I'd be surprised if somehow a Premier League giant didn't like break the bank for him further on in his career.
Yeah, Man United were linked with him this summer, but they didn't even activate the release clause.
Mate, who were you not linked with?
Exactly. We're linked with literally everyone and we don't get the right players that we actually need. And it's just terrible right now, especially when it's coming up to January and you're like, Timo Werner, yeah? Number nine. Don't mind him at all. Donyell Marlon, swap for Sancho. Half of his value. Not a fan. But yeah, Kim Min-jae, he had one season, I think, at Fenerbahce, then one season at Napoli, then is at Bayern Munich. And what I realised, I didn't realise before, I'm not going to pretend like I did research, but what I realised was in South Korea as well, they have university football as well as part of their semi-professional development, which is...
It's like an American sports system.
Yeah. So he was doing that, and I was like, that's really cool to see. So it's like when you're seeing how they actually develop, and that's why they come over to... Europe so late, because they then start peaking at like 25, 26, but they didn't at 23 and 24. So when you see like wonder kids, like when we see wonder kids, for example, we'll see them from Africa or North America, South America, of course, and Europe. We'll normally see them at 18, 19 years old. But I'm doing the Stormzy again, blabbering around. When you think about it with Asian players, do we ever see them when they're coming in so young, or do we always see them around mid-20s, late 20s?
Because I think particularly for in like the Far East, there seems to be less of an obsession with like getting to Europe as soon as they can. Like when you look at South America, well, Brazil in particular, for them, it's all about like they're happy to get signed up by a European club at 15 and then join them at 18. So there's almost like a hit factory there. Far East Asia, even though there's been some iconic players, some major world-class talent that has played, there still doesn't seem to almost be like a conveyor belt that converts, because I think the Asian players, they play domestically as well. But also, I think they spread out to a lot more lesser-known leagues as well. I'm guessing because most people are looking for the next best European talents, and then kind of the Asian talents, unless they're like jaw-droppingly good, then a lot of these clubs don't seem to have networks in place to kind of spot the talent before they become fire. So
it's only now we've seen that at Celtic when they're buying like three, four different.
Yeah, Japanese they've got four. Players. Yeah. So you're going for Kim Min-jae at the back. I've got Tomiyasu. So next, I'm actually going to go for. I'm going to have two in midfield and then one up top. So I'm going to have two creators. So the first one I'm going for, I'm deploying her on the left. I'm going for Derby County's Kira Rai.
Jeez. I think
she's a groundbreaker in terms of South Asian football, but also women in football. She's been playing amazingly for Derby County. And I think last season she was double digits in assists. She got a few goals as well, but a real flair, a real point of inspiration, a real leader of the Derby County women's team. And I think, you know, if Derby get it right and try and approach things not how the men's team or not how the men's team has been run, if they can take things in their own direction in their own right, I don't think it's too far off them breaking into the WSL and establishing themselves. And it'd be amazing to see Kira Rai play at the top level. And if Derby don't get there, I tip someone like Villa. I tip someone like maybe a Leicester, even though they've gone down. I still think they've got a great outfit in the Women's Championship. But I think a team of that caliber, maybe even Liverpool, new up trying to establish things, I think Kira Rai would be a great fit for them. So she goes into my team, absolutely.
She still hasn't, she's delayed me for 2 years coming onto the podcast. She keeps saying, I'll join. Hasn't joined yet. So Kira,
she's too busy turning into a world-class baller.
She's so sick. Like whenever she posts her highlights, I'm like, this is groundbreaking stuff. And it's great to see. And the fact that she does so much for women in sport, let alone Asian women in sport as well, it's great to see what she's actually doing as well. You've actually guilt-tripped me here now, Mr. Khan, because I had a few women's players in mind, but they don't make my team. Annoyingly, annoyingly, one of them I'm good friends with as well. And I'm just like, actually, she won't listen to this bit, but sorry, Millie, you're not getting into this podcast, into my draft as well. You may get into Mr. Khan's one, but in midfield for me, I'm going for a player who is of Pakistani heritage.
No, don't, man.
Come on.
Has he got the same surname as me?
No.
All right, good.
You're okay. But yeah, we're going for someone who came through the Manchester United Academy system. And I was very lucky to watch his debut live in person against Young Boys in a 1-1 draw.
But Zizou.
Going for Zizou. We're going for the man who broke so many barriers just by stepping on the pitch at Old Trafford wearing a Manchester United shirt. He had a few games for Manchester United. Unfortunately, then got sold to Utrecht, I think.
Utrecht.
Yeah, I need to pronounce that probably. Utrecht. And he's now getting some first team appearances, which is great to see. And I'm going to have to go for Iraq and Pakistani international, who also grew up in Manchester. Zidane Iqbal.
So for me, I think it was really disappointing to see him leave United. And it was almost like they let him go for so cheap as well. And you just wonder what happened behind the scenes. Like, was there an opportunity for him to go out on loan to a championship club to get some experience and then before making that decision? But I think, who knows why he thought a permanent move was good for him. Maybe he thought that he was getting so prominent on the international stage for his country that he needed to also back that up with regular first team football.
I agree.
You know, when the dust settles and your head cools down, joining a team like Utrecht in the top division of Dutch football and going away to FC Twente, Feyenoord, Ajax, PSV, like, you know, there's worse leagues for you to play in and get experience in, but I'd love to see him back in the Premier League. Firstly, if he's good enough, I'd love to see him back. If he develops and he's capable of playing at the top level in England, I would love for it. Just from a representation perspective as well. I always said that if Zidane Iqbal became a regular at Man United would become my second team. Like, I always said that, like, just watching Zidane Iqbal, watching a guy like that with a name like that score in the Premier League would be a dream for me, genuinely. And I link it almost to Hamza Chowdhury when he lifted the FA Cup. Like, it was just a dream, like, just to hear someone's name like that linked with a trophy like that. So, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it.
Do you know how cool it will be, though, to see Zidane Iqbal in the Asia Cup representing Iraq? Because in their group stage, you've got Indonesia, they've got Japan, and they've got Vietnam.
Yeah, so for me, man, obviously, you know, he's got just as much prerogative to join Iraq as he got to Pakistan. I wish he joined Pakistan, though, man.
Do you know how cold that lineup would be with Pakistan as well? That'd be sick.
I really feel like that would have been a star signing. Like,
he would have been your poster boy, no doubt.
Yeah, that would have been crazy. But listen, all the best to him. Good luck to Iraq, just not when they're facing Pakistan.
That's good. But yeah, that was my, I'd say, a wild card pick for this one as well. So Zidane Iqbal is making my team on this one as well. Don't break my heart here, Mr. Khan. Where are you going as your second creative spark? There's so many to choose from, but don't do this one to me. Don't do this one to me. Where are we going for your fourth pick?
So I've got Tommy at the back. Wow, his name is completely thrown out of my head. Ali Al-Habzi. Mm. I've got Kira Wright. I need someone on the right now. And I'm trying to think about, where do I weigh this up? Like, I could very much right now choose to blow you out of the water.
Mm.
Like, my next two picks, if I decide to do that, there's nothing that you can come back at me with.
But
I do want to pay homage. I do want to represent. One second. Is my cat trying to get in? My cat is trying to get in and the laundry basket is blocking the window. Bear with me.
No, that's all good.
Good.
So in terms of how many people you can go for, there's so many from who did so well in the World Cups as well. You're looking at South Korea, who did amazing. Iran's done amazing in the World Cup. Japan, of course, have done very good. China, once upon a time, qualified for the World Cup. Saudi Arabia, forgetting about that in 2022, winning against Argentina. There's so many cult heroes you can go for. But where are we going? Where are you and your cat going for this one, Daniel?
So I am going for... Oh, there's so many to choose from, but I really want to go for Otis Khan, who is Pakistan's star boy, obviously.
Also rejected me for an interview on this podcast.
Listen, he'll be there. He'll be there. Don't worry. He'll be on there soon. But yeah, Grimsby Town player, moving and
shaking. Used to play for Walsall as well. When I was working at Walsall, he was there. And I was like, this is crazy. Two brown people at Walsall. I love it.
Yeah, man. I thought that would be amazing. And I think him committing to Pakistan was a huge thing for us. Someone that's come up through the football pyramid. So, I was going to go for Azmoun from Roma.
Wow.
I was going to go
for Azmoun. What a shout.
But I'm going to go for my heart, and I'm going to choose Otis Khan from Pakistan, our star boy. So we've got nice. Kira Rai on the left, Otis on the right, Tommy holding it down at centre-back, and then Ali Ahabzi in defence. I've got one more, but I'll leave it over to you for the next one. You see, though, I'm playing nice, though, right? I could have blown you out of the water with three names.
I'm playing nice by giving you every first pick.
I'm just letting you know.
It's one of those memes as well when you're seeing someone just like they're ready to spike it in volleyball and you're just like, nah, it's gonna be good. For me personally, if I have to go for a player who I've really enjoyed watching over the years, someone's got a bit of class about him, a bit of sauce about him as well. I'd say I based my hairstyle on his once upon a time because it was socially acceptable to see how he played as well. I'm going for a Man United midfield for this one as well. But am I going to go? I'm going to go for him. I can't not go for him. It's Ji-Sun Park. I'm going to go for Ji-Sun Park.
Of course. You're so boring.
It was boring, but I know who you...
I thought you were going to say Shinji Kagawa just to kind of spin it.
It was Kagawa and Park, but I'm like Zidanic, but I need a bit of variety in there as well. But with Ji-Sun Park as well, it's like, remember, 2002 World Cup, he was one of the youngest players in that team, and they got to the quarterfinals. What finals? What semifinals?
I think it was semi-South Korea against Italy, no?
Yeah, they got to... They beat Italy, and then... It was Turkey versus South Korea, you're right, in that one as well. So yeah, Ji-Sun Park for me, again, boring. His hair bouncing when he was playing wasn't boring at all. Well, for me, one of the most underrated footballers I've seen at Manchester United. And the fact that nowadays you're seeing wingers play like Ji-Sun Park in terms of tracking back, in terms of pressing, in terms of stopping the attack going forward. He scored a goal at every single World Cup he participated in. So I think that's quite cool for the South Korean culture as well. And the fact that for me, I'm going to always be biased and go for Park Ji-Sung as one of my favourite Asian players of all time. But what I wanted to ask you as well, when you were an Arsenal fan growing up and you saw Ji-Sun Park on the team sheet, and you knew he scored against you, were you ever worried about him or just like, it's not going to happen this time? And
then it did happen again. No, all the time, because Fergie used to deploy Park Ji-Sung in all the big games. And he was almost like the joker in the pack where he didn't have a set role. His role was to disrupt us in any way he could. And his role was, as you said, like pressing and like breaking our momentum and allowing space, forcing a mistake and allowing the likes of Ronaldo and Rooney and Tevez to like capitalize in a big way. Park Ji-Sung is super underrated. My friend Manvi, by far his favorite player of all time, like in the history of football, is Park Ji-Sung. And it was always, well, obviously you guys used to batter us so much during that period. If we used to get a draw at some point, I used to be like, you know, carrying my lucky stars. So top class player, very underappreciated. But he's adored by United fans, and I think that means the most to him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he scored 19 Premier League goals in 154 appearances for Manchester United, 21 assists, but he won the Premier League four times. Unfortunately, he was left out the squad for the 2008 final in Moscow against Chelsea. So that was
which was a mistake. Well, you won it in the end, but
we won it, but he was critical in the two Barcelona games as well because he kept an eye on Iniesta in the games as well, which is crazy. And Xavi was also quite critical in that game as well, which is crazy to see. But everyone always remembers Ji-Sun Park for his role against Andre Pirlo in the 2010 Champions League round of 16, I think it was actually, when Pirlo very famously said he just would not leave me alone. He would not get off my toes at all, and he would not let me play. He said in his autobiography as well, a bit of a plug for his autobiography, good book actually. He was like, he just wouldn't leave me alone. He was like, oh, if I went to go to the bathroom, he'd probably be there following me as well, which is crazy to see. So when you're looking at players like Ji-Sun Park and how they actually came about, it's a really shrewd signing by Sir Alex Ferguson from PSV Eindhoven for around £4 million. But again, a cult hero for a lot of Manchester United fans, very big cult hero for me as well. But when you're looking at some of the players who actually played with him and they appreciated what he did. And for me, he was a groundbreaker in terms of Asian footballers in the Premier League. We didn't see many of them at the time. I mentioned Sun Ji-hai from China, who played at Everton and Man City, but he was one of them. Inamoto was another one of them as well. I believe he played at Arsenal and Fulham respectively. But Ji-sun Park was the one who actually came over from PSV after having a fantastic World Cup in 2002 to actually become one of Man United's cult heroes, I would say. And again, fantastic player, could score any type of goal. And realistically speaking, I allowed my hair to grow as big as Ji-sun Park's because I quite enjoyed it. And it's quite funny that people would call me Free Lung Hams in the playground. So I'll happily stick to that nickname for me as well.
Amazing. Amazing. For me, the final piece to my South Asian five-a-side puzzle is, I'd say, undisputed, the biggest female footballer on the planet.
Ooh.
A FIFA cover star alongside Kylian Mbappe.
Ooh.
Carried the hopes of her country on her shoulders despite being injured at the last Women's World Cup. Insane. And came up with clutch moments. She is the reason that Arsenal and Jonas Eideveld have struggled to get a hold on a WSL title.
She is the reason why Man United lost the FA Cup final last season as well in a WSL.
She has scored ridiculous goals from the halfway line, volleys, headers. She scored clutch goals. She's ripped defences to part. Her name is Samantha Kerr.
Tell them like it is. Tell the people what Samantha Kerr is about, man, because people don't appreciate her as well. Like, she came into the semi-final of the World Cup last summer, injured, and she was still playing fantastic football.
Scored an incredible goal against England. She scored an incredible goal against England. Hit an absolute rocket. And I think the thing about her is that she's just got the X factor. She's got that elite mentality. She's got that, like, I don't want to mirror it, and I don't want to, like, almost compare by saying, oh, she's like the Mbappe of women's football. Well, what I mean by that is she's a silent and deadly killer. So you've got players like Ronaldinho that when they pick up the ball, there's always something happening. With Sam Kerr, or with players like Mbappe and Sam Kerr, they're like silent predators, and then in a split second, they explode and end up doing something that shifts the whole trajectory of the game. And they do it time and time again. And she's done it on the biggest stages. And her trophy cabinet is a joke. So Sam Kerr, going to bang in the goals for me at five-a-side.
I mean, you've gone for one of the greatest women players we've ever seen in our lifetime. It's one of the facts that Chelsea have been so dominant because of Emma Hayes being a fantastic coach and Sam Kerr being literally the embodiment of Emma Hayes on the field as well. The fact that she's unrelenting, she's uncompromising. She just doesn't take no for an answer in terms of development. And the fact that she plays for Australia, but she's very proud of her Asian roots, makes it a lot more reassuring to see how well women's football will grow from the Asian community. Because there's always been a stigma. You and I will know about Asian women playing sports or being involved in sports. And we're seeing it grow further than ever nowadays. And it's great to see people in the media, in journalism, in writing, in on the pitch, in coaching, and in even little things of being like a trainer or being a doctor on the side of the pitch as well. It's great to see. We've seen that before with Crystal Palace, and we've seen that before at Aston Villa and Tottenham respectively, which is great to see. But Sam Kerr is the embodiment of the future of football, in my opinion. Women's football is crazy to see how it's grown, and she's very much a poster woman for it, and she's unrelenting in what she's doing. So annoyingly, she plays for Chelsea and she scores all the time against Manchester United.
And I just don't think she'll join another WSL team.
You know, I don't see it.
There seems to be like between Tottenham, City, United, Arsenal, there's like interchanging. I think Sam Kerr is Chelsea, and then when she decides she's not Chelsea anymore, she's going to be Barca Femini, or she's going to be Lyon. She's just going to go to one of the giants and mash it up there again.
Maybe go to Bayern Munich and play with Keira Stanway as well.
Yeah, but maybe she's not ready to go until she lifts the Champions League with Chelsea. Who knows?
It'll be a big decision for her as well. And again, she'll want to play another World Cup going forward, which will be insane to see what she's got. So nicely done there. That's crazy, because you've gone for a world-class striker. And because my co-hosts are Spurs fans, I'm going to spite them by not playing the England song. I was teeing you up to put Heung-min Son in, because I was like, I wanted an Arsenal fan to pick Heung-min Son and be like, oh yeah, he's one of the greatest.
Yeah, no, I could have battered you and gone for Park and Son just two in a row, and
You could have gone for Nakata as well. Could have gone for Kamada.
I was thinking of Shinsuke Nakamura at Celtic as well.
I forgot about him.
I wanted to go for him. I'll never forget about him. The way he buried you guys in the Champions League. I'll never forget about him.
Great free kick as well. Remember, he did that in the last game of the season in the SPL and he won the league. Like, yeah. Which is crazy.
I was also thinking of who is the Japanese striker for Leicester in their
Shinji Okazaki.
Yeah, Shinji Okazaki. I was thinking of him as well.
Oh, there's a funny meme I saw the other day. It's like when you ask a girl who's her favorite footballer, and she says no one can compare to Shinji Okazaki in the Leicester City title winning campaign. I'm like, that's how you know football, when Shinji Okazaki comes up in conversation.
That's it.
Which is great. But yeah, for me personally, if I'm going to go for my striker in my five-a-side up front, like I said, for part two, if Suki and Travis join for part two, fair enough, they can talk about Heung-min Son all they want. But I'm not going to do that. And Daniel's not going to do that either. So I'm very happy that we got the, what's the term? We got the memo of not actually speaking about Heung-min
Son. And like what we should preface that with the fact that obviously he gets into any all-time Asian five-a-side 11.
I would say he's number one, personally.
Yeah, and that's the reason we exclude him. It's like almost like when we're talking about the best rappers in the world, or who are the best rappers of all time, and people say Tupac and Biggie, we're like, yeah, all right, we know that. Now move on.
Let's have the debate.
Like, who are the greatest footballers? Like, we know Son is number one, and that is why we want to look outside that for our teams.
It's true. We know that because we're going to have a bit of fun with this final pick. And for me personally, if I'm going for someone who... I'll give him a bit of love and a bit of credit. I'm going to go for Sadar Azmoun as my striker, which is good. I could go for Mehdi Taremi, but when I went to the Dubai airport, coming back from India, there was an Iranian guy with an Iranian jersey, kit, everything, jacket on. And I walked up to him. I was like, excuse me, are you Mehdi Taremi? And he was like, no, I'm not. I play in the Olympics as like a weightlifter or something. I'm like, oh, okay. Sorry to disturb you. No, it's fine. No worries. So my heart was broken by someone who's not Mehdi Taremi, who I thought was Mehdi Taremi, going to play for Iran after having a stopover in Dubai. So I'm going to go for Sadar Azmoun as my striker, mostly because of his Bayer Leverkusen days. And I actually got to watch him play at Bayer Leverkusen last season, I think. And
oh, wow.
I think Iran is an up-and-coming footballing nation. We've seen it a few times at the World Cups and we've seen them...
I don't know if they're up-and-coming. I think they're pretty well-established. I think I would call them Asian football giants.
They definitely are Asian football giants.
I mean, we can't forget as well, like, they've got a history of... I think they had back-to-back group stage appearances versus Lionel Messi and put in unbelievable performances until, like, a Messi clutch moment. And,
2014 in Brazil, I remember that, like, yesterday.
Carlos Queiroz used to manage them as well. I think Iran have got a good foundation for what they want to do. I think they've got players scattered around. Like, to have players that are playing for Porto and Roma, you had Jahan Bakhsh playing for...
Well pronounced. I was never going to get that. He used to play at Brighton, didn't he?
Yeah. So now he's at PSV, I believe.
Did you ever do your hair like they did in the 2018 World Cup when they had it all slipped back and they're looking all...
Not at all. That's for that. Like, I'm a tapered skin fade man. I ain't good looking enough to go for that one. But
I disagree on that one.
Them boys are good. Stop flirting with me, man. They're good looking boys, and they've got the strong Persian features. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I think they just need to stick with what they're doing and keep developing talents that play in big leagues like that. And hopefully the disparity between the rest of the team and the star players will become smaller and smaller. And then we can finally see Iran kind of getting out of group stages. You know, like when we played them, I was in the stadium when we played, when England played Iran.
Mm.
And I didn't have, when we beat them 6-1 before the game, I didn't have this feeling of guaranteed 3 points in the bag. Like, Iran have a temperament and like a kind of an energy and an intensity where they can cause trouble, you know. Taremi scored on that day as well. So, yeah, man, credit to Iran for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great to see that with Iran as well. They've got so much more going for them going forward as well. But one striker I wanted to put in to this team, but I've not seen him play. I just know that he's an Indian football icon as well. I was going to put
Sunil Chhetri.
Sunil Chhetri as well. I was going to put him in, but I was like, I've not seen him play. So I
shout out my boy Arjun. He filmed a documentary with Sunil Chhetri. And Sunil Chhetri went, "Hi, I'm Sunil Chhetri. I think he plays for Bangalore Blasters or something."
Yeah, he does. He's still playing. He's got a long career.
He goes Bangalore Blasters and India national team. And then he stops the camera and goes, "Can I do that again?" And then they did it again. He goes, "Hi, I'm Sunil Chhetri, India national team. And I play for Bangalore Blasters." So that says a lot about him. He's in love with playing for the Indian national team. He's so full of pride. He's a national icon, a sporting hero. And I believe he had trials at QPR.
And he called them QPR Rangers.
He had trials at QPR. That would have been incredible. And I think he was also in Portugal. Sporting Lisbon's B team. He had a stint with them as well. So would have been amazing to see him play over here, but an icon for India for sure.
Yeah, exactly. He had one game in the USA for Kansas City Wizards. And again, he just ended up going back to the subcontinent as well. But again, the fact that he's had such a long career, an inspiring career for a lot of kids around India to not just go into cricket or to hockey, but to football as well. And now a lot of my friends from India are then saying football's one of the most growing sports in the country, let alone cricket. And when I went to India, fortunately, in the summer, everyone's just talking about football. And I'm loving it. It's great. But we have to see more from that from our home country of India as well, which would be great. And my mother-in-law is always going on about needs to come back to India and start coaching people. And I'm like, I do, but I need to learn how to speak Gujarati and Hindi properly as well. It needs to be done. I need to get that on my CV, which would be good fun indeed. But yeah, this was very fun because we got to go through a lot of different players from different nationalities. And we were also hyping up actual Asian people as opposed to Australian and New Zealand players. Sorry, Ryan Nelson, you don't make the cut for myself in this list as well. Blackman Rovers legend. Right then, before we wrap up, Mr. Khan, do tell me your all-time Asian five-a-side.
So in goal, in between the sticks, we have Ali Al-Habzi. Protecting him at the back, we have the Guna Samurai, Takehiro Tomiyasu. Then in front of him, to the left, we have the creative wizard for Derby County Women, Kira Rai. Then on the right, we have Otis Khan, Pakistan star boy. And up top, we've capped it all off with a bona fide world superstar, Samantha Kerr.
I think you're beating me with this one. It's crazy. In goal, I've gone for Japanese goalkeeping hero, Gonda, who, like I said, I want to see more from him in domestic football, but fantastic at World Cups from what I've seen. At the back, we've got Kim Min-jae. So Kim Min-jae versus Samantha Kerr will be a tough battle for anyone to see as well. One of my favourite centre-backs right now in Europe. Midfield, we're going for someone who, I don't know, he just brought joy to my heart just watching him run onto the pitch at Old Trafford as a sub appearance. Zidane Iqbal, and the fact that is my wife's first ever Manchester United game to watch Man United versus Young Boys, and she saw a British Pakistani boy come onto the pitch and play football. I thought that was quite iconic for me.
That was sick.
I planned it definitely as well. Should have taken it to a better game, but I didn't. Then on the wing, one of my favourite Asian players of all time. Can't do an Asian draft five-a-side without him. Ji-Sun Park, one of my favourite players, and should really have dyed my head red back in the day like he did once upon a time as well. And then up front, one of my favourite underrated strikers and someone who's done very well for Iran over the years, we're going to go for Sadar Azmoun. Sorry, Mehdi Taremi, but if you didn't have a lookalike in the Dubai airport who is also an athlete, I may have gone for you. But I'll be honest with you, I think Azmoun would be better on a five-a-side pitch with his agility.
Azmoun would be sensational. But Taremi would be licking off shots from anywhere on the pitch and burying them. But yeah, Azmoun, baller.
On those smaller goals as well, very difficult. Which would be good. Can't really be doing. When you play five aside, do you play with the head limit as well?
Not at all.
So if we were playing without the head limit as well, then Taremi's just doing long ball football.
That head limit thing is such a goody two shoes thing. Like,
I hate it. It's
bro, we are paying £9 to be on this pitch, and you want to like do the stupid keep it on the floor shit.
No, like, we don't run this game.
We lick it in the air. We chip people. We score headers.
Needs to be done. Because I'm looking at it and I'm just looking at how people are like, oh no, it's gone over shoulder high. I'm like, blood, play the game.
Yeah.
Very silly as well. Yeah. All right then, before we wrap it up, I want to get your predictions for the Asia Cup. Because literally, Asia Cup is literally in January coming up. We've got Japan who are looking like big favourites. Qatar won it last time as well, which was crazy to see.
That was a ridiculous situation.
That looked like match fixing to me, because we're expecting more things from them going forward. But realistically speaking, they just didn't do anything in the World Cup. But yeah, they've got, what, four or five different groups as well. So Saudi Arabia are looking good. South Korea, Japan, of course, Iran, and Australia for some reason are in there. Don't get it. India are in Australia's group, so it could be like a cricket revenge for them as well, Australia beating India. And obviously Qatar and Lebanon are in Group A. But is there anyone that's kind of...
We can't forget that Palestine are also in the tournament. They're going to be coming up against Iran, and they're going to be coming up against, who else is in the group? The UAE.
Hong Kong.
So I'm hoping for some big performances there. I'm hoping for an opportunity for Palestine to announce itself on the world stage in football in some sort of capacity, however that may be. But I can't get past the fact that once we get down to the business end, you know, South Korea, Iran, Japan will start to kind of strut their stuff. Even Saudi, to be honest. Saudi in a hot run of form, putting in some good performances. So maybe this could be their year as well. But if I had to pick one, South Korea, it's hard to look past.
Nicely done. I'm going to have to go for Japan. I think they've got that midfield trio of Kamada, Minamino, and Mitoma as well. That's absolutely fantastic. And surprisingly, neither of us put Minamino or Mitoma in it. Well, more surprisingly, Mitoma, I would say. But again, we're not here for the best of Asian footballers. I'll be on part two later on in the podcast as well. But realistically speaking, though, it's going to be a fun Asia Games as well. And I think more people need to be a bit more excited about the talents that come out of Asian football, especially Asian people, not Australian people. But again, Australia make it because no one else is in their side of the world as well, which ain't great. But again, I still don't agree with the fact that Australia are in the Asia Games. What I do agree with was, this is a fantastic podcast, a great way of looking back at some of the former Asian players that we've seen and some of the bright young talents that we've got coming through football in both the men's game and the women's game as well. And that is a big thanks to Mr. Daniel Khan, who is doing fantastic work outside of this podcast and doing fantastic work coming up in 2024. Can we get a teaser trailer for what's coming up in 2024 from yourself, Daniel Khan?
Oof. A lot of conversations happening. No here we goes just yet, but when the time is right, you guys will be the first to know, of course.
I'm looking forward to that exclusive, which will be good fun indeed. But yeah, everyone, thank you very much for listening. It's been fantastic to get through this Asian Cup topic of conversation, which would be great fun indeed. If we should do a part two for this one coming up, stick around for it. If not, Daniel Khan, thank you very much for your time today. Enjoy your time going forward in 2024, and hopefully we get to see each other soon, which would be great.
Peace.
And there we go for part two on our Asian special. It's an Asian special because we've been talking about streets will never forget Asian footballers, and now we're back for part two because we now have the main topic of conversation, which is, who are the best Asian footballers right now in 2024? Who are the best Asian footballers to watch across the world? Because the Asia Cup is about to start at the time of recording, and it's absolutely fantastic to be seeing some of these amazing talents from Iran, from Qatar, from South Korea, not so much North Korea, but Japan as well, which has been absolutely fantastic. And when I think, you know what, because we have people of Asian descent on our podcast, it's only right that we talk about Asian football on a regular basis. And who better than, I would say Suki, but Suki's not here yet. So if he does join, he joins. But we are joined again by Sara Pararia. So Sara, it's good to have you back on. And it's a quite interesting topic as well, because I don't know if it's what it's like for your point of view. But again, the Asia Cup isn't really celebrated or highlighted in England. It's more considered a nuisance or a hindrance for a lot of top clubs, because their players are off to the Asia Cup, they're off playing away, and they could get injured, which is more as opposed to, oh, they're off to go and win a trophy for their country, let's celebrate it. It's actually, no, you could actually get injured, which is a really bad thing to hear as well. What's it like in Canada following the Asia Cup?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably the same thing. Most supporters, excuse me, of...
We did that in sync right there as well. It's crazy.
You were waiting for me.
Timed it perfectly.
Yeah, but no, most supporters of Premier League clubs, especially here in Canada, obviously being the most popular league here, do kind of look at it like, oh, we're losing Son for up to, you know, 2 months, let's say, or we're losing, you know, we spoke on our other podcast about AFCON and how Mohamed Salah, players like this. But being of Persian descent, I think this is, I love the Asian Cup because it is a time where Iran tends to excel. And we see them perform on the international stage in the World Cup, but they make their exit in the group stage. So this is a chance where you can actually see your nation or just another nation that wouldn't go as far as you would expect them to in the World Cup actually make a run, potentially win. The semis are always nuts. So, I mean, I think I look at it the same way as the AFCON. Like, it's such a great tournament to watch and to learn so much more about these footballers. And we know all about that after we did our AFCON draft because we struggled a bit there. But
we struggled so much. And that's where I want to put the challenge to you. When are we going to do an all-time Asian draft? Because that will be so, so difficult. Because you'll be picking out four players that you know and six players that you don't. And the one player that you're just like, oh, maybe I'll pick him because he's got a good name or something. And that may not be the best of options as well, because that would be a crazy draft to have.
That'll be crazy. And also it depends how many of us actually do it. Because I think if you did it, we could get by.
We'd be okay with it, like we did with the AFCON one.
But once you start bringing in a third person and they start taking those players that you're familiar with, you really do get tested. So I think it would be fun. We should definitely do it. But how great will the teams be? Well, we'll find out.
We will wait and see, which is good. But yeah, if Suki joins us, he joins us for this part. But this is going to be the closing part of this podcast where we're talking about the top five Asian players in world football right now at the time speaking in January 2024. And this is where Sara and I, and Suki, if he does join, I'll keep making the reference until he comes. If he doesn't, it'll just be funny listening back. We have to make our top five list a joint list because we have to agree really. And some of these players that do get in or don't actually get into the team, not team, but this top five list as well, I would say. But starting off at number five, for you, Sara, who do you have on your top five list and why? Who's number five for you?
My number five right now is Karu Mutoma. I think
I like it.
Good start so far. I know you were telling me earlier that it's going to be tricky for us to get a combined top five, but I think we actually got this. Yeah, listen, Mutoma this season hasn't been what he was last season. But that being said, whenever he does plays, he does create so much for Brighton. But Brighton also are a team that kind of got picked apart over the summer transfer window. A lot's changed with them. And it is really difficult for a kind of like a mid-table club to continue playing the way they were playing last season. But if we do take a look at last season, he had 10 goals in the season, 8 assists, and he only missed 3 games. This guy was it for Brighton. He is also, just in my opinion, so much fun to watch.
He really is.
He's a baller.
It's crazy to watch Mutoma, but my question to you, because there's another Japanese player I want to put onto this list, but I'm not sure if he makes it because of the other nations that we've got on as well. Is Kaworu Mutoma a better winger than Takefusa Kubo?
No, because I have Takefusa Kubo up in my list.
Oh, you've got him in your list, so that means I may have to... I may have to lose an Iranian player for this one as well. Oh, this is very tricky. This is very, very tricky.
Oh, but I think I know what you've done here. But I for sure thought you had Kubo in the list. We love Kubo here.
I've got Kubo and Mutoma in the list, but it's very difficult because, like I said off air as well, I've got 8 players that I want to get into this five. But I'm just not sure how it's gotta be an agreed list. That's how we've always said it before. Okay. But I want to put Kubo into this list, but I can't rule out Mutoma because there are 3 shoe-ins for me who definitely have to be in there. 2 from South Korea, 1 from Iran, and another 1 from Japan. But it's gonna be very difficult to try and fit this one in. But Mutoma for me, I'm gonna agree with you and I'm gonna put Mutoma at 5. I'm very happy with Mutoma at 5. It's been absolutely fantastic to watch him play and watch him grow in the Premier League as well. And a lot of people who do follow Asian football, they do know that when players come over to Europe from Japan or from South Korea or from the Far East, they don't come as youngsters. They come as 24, 25-year-olds because they do their university studies. They do their military service early as well. And then they get to go and enjoy the fruits of their labor playing football professionally across the world as well. But again, this season, Mutoma has only scored 3 goals and 5 assists. He has been injured in and out of the side for Roberto De Zerbi, but I think he's absolutely fantastic. And he's definitely, for me, the poster boy of Japanese football. Going forward is absolutely fantastic and a joy to watch going forward. My friend Zim, who's out in Japan, living there for a year, he bought a Mitoma shirt, Mitoma number 9. And I'm just like, I don't care how much you paid for it. It's a really nice shirt and it's a really good name to go for. So if we needed someone in this top 5 list from Japan, I'm very happy to put Mitoma in. But we're going to have to wait and see if Kubo makes the list as well, Sarah.
Very, very difficult.
Okay, so go with your number 4 now.
My number 4, honestly speaking, my number 4 is going to have to be... he's not been great this season. He's gone to a different club, but I think he's absolutely fantastic as a striker. Sada Azmoun. I really like him.
He was fantastic. My honorable mention, but he didn't make my top 5.
Oh, okay. So now
this is maybe more difficult. Yeah.
Okay. If we're not going to put Azmoun in, we have to put at least one Iranian in because obviously of your descent as well.
Yeah, the man of Porto.
We're going to have to go to Porto for this one as well. Mehdi Taremi. He has to make the list. And if he has to make the list, I'll keep him at 4. That's all I'm saying. That's literally all right, what I'm saying.
I'm happy with that. Good compromise.
Talk to the audience about Mehdi Taremi. Talk to him about how he's been such a fascinating player to watch. And for me personally, one of my favorite moments watching Mehdi Taremi was when Porto knocked out Juventus with Cristiano Ronaldo in that lockdown season when Porto were hosting the Champions League final as well. And he blew Juventus away, which was absolutely fantastic. Because if you remember as well, that was the defense with Bonucci and Chiellini, who went on to win the Euro as well. But Taremi tore apart this famous Juventus defense as well. What can you tell us in the audience a bit more about Mehdi Taremi from a national point of view as well, and as opposed to just a Porto point of view as well?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of become the emblem of the Iranian football team and kind of the biggest player since Ali Daei, who still a lot of people aren't really familiar with. But until a few years ago, Cristiano had just overtaken Dai's record for most international goals. He held it, I think, for like 15 years almost. An absolute superstar. Oh, look who's joining
us. He's bringing some random username as well, but I love it. Yeah, this is what he does. Taremi.
Yeah. No, he is really the face of the Iranian football team, and he's such an incredible player. We've seen it's difficult, I think, for a lot of these players because so many of the national team players stay in Iran to play, and they have a decent league, but it's of course not on the European level. And for him to come and join Porto, a team that has been of late a massive competitor in the UCL. I think they have a good chance of getting by Arsenal, actually, this season. But he is a crucial part of that team. And he brings so much sauce with the way he plays. And, I mean, even it's really difficult because there's so much going on politically back home in Iran. But he still seems to bring this lightness to the way he plays. And I can't even imagine how it is for some of these players, not just Iranians, as we know. There's so many players playing with, you know, a lot going on, and it's amazing to watch. He is really special. I think it's a generational kind of thing for Iran.
The thing is with Taremi as well, it's the fact that he's actually been linked with Inter Milan this January for next summer as well. So with Arnautovic looking out of contract and Alexis Sanchez, they are looking at someone who can be a backup striker to Marcus Thuram and Lautaro Martinez. And Mehdi Taremi, if he does want to go from being the main man at Porto off to being a secondary player at Inter Milan, with no disrespect to Inter Milan, it's still a really good move to be a secondary striker at Inter Milan. But I think he loves being the poster boy of Iranian football. An absolutely fantastic striker to go for. And another fantastic striker who's finally joined the podcast. Suki, nice to have you back in a portrait mode as well. Looking very clean on your HD screens, which I'm liking to see. We're doing our top 5 joint list of Asian footballers right now. At number 5, we've gone for Kaoru Mitoma. At number 4, we've gone for Mehdi Taremi. And now we've got 3 spots available as well. I said before you came on the podcast, I've got 8 players I want to fit into this list. And 2 have already been picked. 2 we've already put off to the side so far as well. So who would you put at number 3 for the best Asian player right now in world football?
At number 3?
You've got number 1, so it's all good.
Yeah, we know that. I know the top 2, like, but I think... There's one guy I think we find criminally underrated, by the way. I don't think anyone really hears much about him because he's, again, you just don't hear about players like this, especially when it comes to the Asian side of the world. But his name is Salman Al-Darassi. I mean, a number 10, plays off the left, cuts in quite a lot. But I think when you look at his stats, he's obviously won 4 Asian Champions Leagues. He's been player of the year for Saudi Arabia for twice in a row now.
And very famous in that Saudi Arabia game against Argentina as well. Very
exactly,
very
yeah. So
Where is Messi?
That's the next one that can do very well. Where is Messi one? I can't find him. His glasses. Love that outfit.
But yeah, it's a chap that's very kind of underrated. I don't think really people really hear about him in Europe in general, around kind of his name or what's he about. I mean, if I'd said this name to someone in Europe or someone of our close friends, they'd be like, who's this guy? Is this someone
ask it to Travis later. Let's see what he responds with.
We'll have to ask Travis.
Spurs are linked with him. Like, who? Oh, yeah, no. It's fantastic. He was great at the World Cup. Who did he play for? South Africa. No, he didn't. He played for Saudi Arabia, which he just won't get it at all, which is crazy. No, I like him. He's been a fantastic player, but I can't have him over Mitoma and Taremi in this list. So it's a great honourable
mention. Yeah, I couldn't put him in that order. Yeah, I know I joined late, but I can't put him in that order. That's why I had him quite high, like 4th, 5th. Yeah.
Nah, it's a good honourable
mention. Someone I wanted to mention, yeah.
That's okay. I like it. Are you going to go for any Indian players, Suki? Because Sunil Chhetri could make it into this list.
I mean, mate, I don't think they really get to the levels of where you expect to see him on TV.
Do you know how crazy it is to see India in the Asia Cup as well? They're playing against Australia in the same group. And Australia aren't even Asian. I don't get it. I just don't get it at all.
I don't understand it either.
They just need Australia to be in a competition. So they're like, okay, you're Asian now. But they're just not Asian at all. Absolutely crazy. And by the way, if anyone puts an Australian player in this list, I'm leaving this podcast. That's all I'm saying. I'm kind of
quite, don't you find it funny though, Hamzy? It's quite similar to like Japan being in the Copa America. Or CONCACAF?
No, but the thing is Copa America invites a guest. That's why Qatar was in it. It's not because they're part of it.
It's a cameo appearance. It was a cameo appearance.
And the team switch. So it's not the same. This is just geographically incorrect.
Yeah. It's a nice gesture though as well, because it's like a cameo appearance, like Tom Cruise appearing in Tropic Thunder. Just randomly comes out of nowhere, which is crazy. But now I'm liking this one because now it's got me thinking a bit more. Sorry, I'm going to have to go to South Korea for this one because he definitely has to be
number three.
Going number three for this one. We're going to a defensive player who's been absolutely fantastic, but I don't know if he should be number two or number three, but I'd rather have him at number three to guarantee him in this list as well. Absolutely fantastic for South Korea at the World Cup. Amazing for Napoli last season. I'm pretty sure a few of us have picked him in our drafts as well. I think one of you stole him off me because I picked him and I shouldn't have picked him earlier as well. We both know what happened there. Kim Min-jae, I've got to put him in this list, Sarah. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I had him in my list as well. He could be two for me, honestly, after the way he played last season. I know Kvicha and Osimhen kind of got a lot of attention for that Napoli squad, but Kim Min-jae held that back wall down for Napoli. And do I think they could have won it without him? No, he's been incredible. Then he goes to Bayern Munich, a completely different league, a much more... I don't want to say like a stronger side, but they're a little bit, you know, kind of up there in European football, more so than Napoli, and slides into this team with ease, plays, I think he's played 15 out of 17 matches in the Bundesliga. And it's rare to see a player make a transfer and fit so seamlessly into a team like he has, or for example, Jude Bellingham and Real Madrid. He's been crucial for Bayern Munich. I know they haven't had a great season, but the fact that you're playing in a different league for such a solid club, it's admirable.
Suki said earlier today on WhatsApp that Kim Min-jae was one of the better signings in the summer window last season as well. And he also said that Kim Min-jae is now Bayern Munich's main centre-back. And Suki, I kind of wanted to get your point on why he's been such a big player for Bayern Munich, because you hadn't really heard about him beforehand, before Napoli. You follow Napoli a lot, I know, from your Napoli fandom and being a Serie A fan as well, respectively. But what's it really been like for Kim Min-jae to become a natural leader now? Because it's like when Thiago Silva came out of nowhere at AC Milan. He's just fantastic when he came. It's like he's been playing for years there. Kim Min-jae looks like he's been playing top-level football for years as well, but he's only been at Napoli and Bayern Munich recently as well. But what do you think's happened there, Suki, from your point of view?
I think it's just that level of maturity that he's got. And I think with a lot of the South Korean players, they have that kind of, it's kind of that responsibility that they get. They know what they've got to do on the pitch. They know they've got to play for the fans. They know how they've got to operate, how to behave as well. I think when you mold that all together, it's kind of like when you're trying to find that kind of model professional in a player. Mm. And I think with Kim Min-jae, it's quite similar to the rest of the players, which we'll probably mention after this anyway. I think when you look at them, the way that they go about themselves as kind of sports athletes, but more on the professional side, positional play, how they need to work with the tactics being in tune with the manager as well around where they need to be and how they should be playing, if they need to press, if they need to drop back, if they need to push up and really go for a goal, counter-attack, whatever it may be. But I think for a player like his calibre, you've seen that where he's worked with different managers, he's been in different leagues. And I think, he was linked with us at Tottenham to begin with before he moved to Napoli. And again, when he was at Napoli. So I mean, if someone's linked to him to come to the Prem, it speaks volumes that this guy is a complete centre-back. He's got pace, he's strong. And I mean, when you look at him in the tackle, he times
he's deceivingly quick as well. He's deceivingly very quick with his timing. Yeah. It's crazy to see.
which was quite strange because people didn't understand that. They were like, oh, well, he's gone to Italy. It's a slow league. He'll be able to handle the pace. It's like, well, he's actually quite quick when you look at it. Mm. And I mean, when you've seen this in the Bundesliga as well in Germany and especially in the Champions League, and no one gets past him. And I think with Bayern now, he's kind of taken that mold where Jerome Boateng was the kind of the lead head of that kind of centre-back group. I think he's kind of got that similar kind of headspace where he's now becoming the guy. I mean, you've got De Ligt, he's too young, yeah, and I think he's been in and out of the team. You've got Upamecano, he makes too many silly mistakes. I don't think he's that natural leader that you expect. But I think with Kim Min-jae, he kind of brings that kind of calm presence. As I say, he's been that kind of model professional in that team. And I think with him being their main centre-back, Tuchel raves on about him all the time anyway. So I think he's a quality player.
He has that energy as well, that main centre-back energy. Saren knows when there's a centre-back like Andreas Christensen, they're not going to be a main centre-back. Or when you're looking at like Tottenham and you're looking at someone like Eric Dier, so he's not going to be the main centre-back as well. For Man United, you're not going to have Victor Lindelof as your main centre-back. There's always secondary centre-backs, but Kim Min-jae is definitely a main centre-back. He's a main man in this list as well. Number three. Now this is where it gets very, very difficult because there's a few attackers I want to put into this list, but I think it may mean some of them get missed out completely as well, Sara. So I'm going to name a few. Wang Hee-chan, Takefusa Kubo. You know who I'm thinking of now going forward with Takefusa Kubo. We mentioned Sadar Azmoun earlier as well. So there are a few players that we need to put into this list at number two. But this is where I'm going to come to you, Sara, for this one. Who's your number two on this list? Because I think number one may be quite obvious for our listeners as well. But who's at number two for you?
I actually had Takefusa Kubo at number two. Listen,
that's fine. I'm happy with it. Suki, you happy with it?
Suki's like, I'm done.
Suki's like, no, I had a Qatari to put in here. I had a few to put in here as well.
Why? I don't want any Qataris in this list. Sorry, but
Suki was like, I had a thief in this list. I've got his shirt. It's ready. Here we go. This is who he had in his list. Suki, who would you put at number two then? Because we've got Mitoma in the list. We've got Kim Min-jae. And we've got Taremi at number four as well. Who would you put at number two?
I would have put Hwang Hee-chan. I would have put him as number two.
Number two above Kim Min-jae, Mitoma, and Mehdi Taremi.
Yeah, but the thing is, when it comes to players in the Premier League, they're about it. And what I mean about this, they've got the physical presence, they've got the technical ability, they've got everything. That's the reason why they're at the best league in the world for a reason. I think with Hwang Hee-chan playing at Wolves and being the main guy, come on.
It's the fact that you don't think Takefusa Kubo has it is questionable.
I mean,
he's been fantastic in the Champions League as well.
Yeah, he's been all right.
Real Madrid?
He did play for Real Madrid once upon a time.
I was going to say Real Sociedad are about to wipe the floor with PSG in the next Champions League match, and it's going to be Takefusa's game all day, all night. Listen, this team, Real Sociedad, are a fantastic football club. They're one of the best clubs in Spain. They produce a ton of talent, and Kubo has been there for ages now. I mean, he's came out of Real Madrid, but...
And Barcelona,
I know, the two, it messes me up inside, but...
like a glitch in the system, that.
It is. A little Deco, Figo.
Figo.
Listen, I just think he gets overlooked because he plays in La Liga. But if you look at the last 10 years and who's winning the European titles, it's Spanish teams. So, listen, I get it right now. The Premier League is balling, but the Premier League wasn't balling a couple years back. It's kind of had a resurgence, which is great, but I don't think that it's fair to judge players that play in other top five leagues based on that, especially Spain and Italy, since you are the Serie A fan.
Is the Premier League now a farmers league because Man City are looking to do the four-peat? Suki, that could be an option as well. But now
if they do win it four years in a row, you do have to look at it and be like, yeah, it is a bit of a farmers league.
There as well.
It's increased motivation because Amz's team have won it three on the bounce. So if City get it four in a row, they get one up on United. So there's the motivation levels are there, right? So just keep going.
No, I like it. But yeah, I think Hwang Hee-chan gets a very good honourable mention at number six as well. Kang In-Lee was also a player I thought about, the PSG midfielder, but he never made it quite into this list as well, respectively. Minamino was also someone who never made the list as well. Afif, I know Suki was thinking about Afif from Qatar, but again, I'm not sure Qatar are going to do well at the Asia Cup as well.
Also, just Wataru Endo this season, I think, has to give him some flowers. He's been brilliant.
Tomiyasu has been pretty good as well for Arsenal.
Yeah,
he never plays for them, which really annoys
me. Oh, mate, you cannot put Tomiyasu in this list, by the way.
No, they're
honorable
not.
Honourable mention.
You can't even mention him. Don't give him honours.
All right,
honors.
We get it. You're a Spurs fan.
He's terrible, man. Honestly, thank God nobody signed him. Thank God Arsenal signed him.
That's okay. I don't mind it at all. But Takefusa Kubo is making our list at number two. We're going to go for an overriding decision on this one. 6 goals and 3 assists in the Premier League this season. He is someone who has been absolutely fantastic for Real Sociedad, and we're going to expect a lot more from him at the Asia Cup. And he's definitely my player to watch at the Asia Cup so far this season, because Japan are odds on favourite to win the tournament from a lot of bookmakers that I don't really understand what bookmakers actually do besides predicting things. But I'm predicting Japan to win, because if you've got Matoma and you've got Kubo in your team, and you've got Maeda from Celtic and Minamino from Monaco, that is a scary front four for anyone in this team as well. But it's normally not just the team. Sometimes it's the main man. And the main man in Asian football right now, Suki, is also one of the main men in the Premier League. So take it away with talking about how amazing Heung-Min Son has been for the last 7 years in the Premier League, respectively, and has been absolutely fantastic right now as a striker for Tottenham Hotspur after moving from a left winger to a striker.
I mean, how can you not love this guy? I mean, even
I don't like him. I don't even like him. I don't even like him.
It's all right, Hans. He's on a hating vibe today.
I don't like him. I don't like him. The fact that he was whiling on the floor after getting hit by Scott McTominay. He then dived after someone kicked the ball at his shin, like Rivaldo at the World Cup.
I've never heard someone that doesn't like Sonny. You know.
Oh no! Yeah,
he's not a Sonny person. He's a very, very moody person, Heung-Min Son. He's got a fake persona about him. I've got to respect him, but I don't like him. I think he's absolutely fantastic as a footballer. But no, go ahead, Suki, you were saying.
I was going to say, I mean, I was just looking at his Premier League record today, actually, which is quite surprising. He scored 115 goals and he's got 57 assists for someone who's had to like be the backup to Harry Kane. He's kind of like that Batman and Robin. I think we kind of keep that Robin role a bit underrated, right? I mean, this guy is just like, when you look at the stats, and now he's taking the mold over Harry Kane now through our Tottenham team, playing up front through the middle, and he's still scoring goals and getting assists.
Now Batman's left Gotham and has turned into Nightwing. Is that what happens, Hickey?
That's what happened, Jay. That's how it is, man. But I mean, our Robin's still there. He's still performing. He's still fighting justice in the league.
I'm loving this analogy. Keep it going.
Go on, mate. But I mean, look, he has been carrying a bit of a weird injury this season with his groin. So he has been playing kind of games now and again. He's been in and out. So I think he's not fully at 100% of where we expect him to be. But even and then, he's both footed, he's quick, he knows how to score. And I think when you look at his conversion rate, which is quite surprising, by the way, very high in terms of goals to ratio from shots. So I think he's very, 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 very clinical when you look at it. And I think some of the goals, when you look at his highlights, especially against Arsenal, the most that he kind of scored some amazing goals.
That was a great game, to be fair, against the at the Emirates as well. Great 2-2 game. That was fantastic.
Everyone thought he'd falter, right, in that game, because they thought, okay, first North London derby without Kane, who's really going to score the goals for Tottenham? And he's taken the mantle on, and I think now him becoming captain of the team as well, especially with Madison behind him, it's exciting times, right? So I think what a player. I mean, he's carried that kind of that threadbare for Asian football players around the world, which kind of sparks more interest in the youth to kind of take on more football, especially going abroad. I think you see that quite a lot now. You talk about players going to La Liga, going to Bundesliga at the age of 19, 20. I think we're going to see some more Sonnies coming up in the league soon. So who knows? I think we've got one at Wolves already in the second mold, and hopefully Tottenham sign him soon.
That'd be crazy. That's actually crazy when you think about it. Hwang Hee-chan and Heung-Min Son at the Asia Cup. That's a crazy front line as well. You're looking at. But Heung-Min Son, before going to the Asia Cup, 20 appearances, 12 goals in the Premier League and 5 assists for Tottenham Hotspur. I'm really happy at the time speaking he's not going to be playing against Manchester United, because he will be tearing our back line to shreds if he was there as well. But before I get on to Sarah's point of view on Heung-Min Son being number one, Suki, talk to me about your favourite moment watching Son Heung-Min live at White Hart Lane or at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Talk to me about when you got to watch him and appreciate him properly in person, because we know you're a match-going Spurs fan. So let me hear it, my friend. How was it?
Yeah, definitely. I think one standout game for me would have been when we played against Leicester. We beat him 6-2. Yep. And I mean, this guy is absolutely bad. I think it was, he had a bit of a bad patch. He had a bit of a purple patch in terms of front of goal, couldn't score, couldn't get an assist. And then all of a sudden, bang, he's just scored a hat-trick. And I think he really kind of silenced the haters there, where people were really onto him. And then he comes out with some absolute screamers outside the box.
That left-footed screamer was insane. What a goal insane. That was as well.
Yeah, so I think even shushing the kind of media as well. And I think that's when everyone kind of relaxed up and were like, okay, he is that guy. We need to back off here, because he can score with both feet. He scores absolute screamers against Leicester all the time. And I think, what a player. I mean, when you look at the stats, the speed volumes itself, and what he's done for Tottenham in the space of, 7-8 years that he's been here. And we only got him for 20 mil, when you think about it. So
don't call him a bargain. Don't call him a bargain, whatever you do. Don't
fantastic call him a ROI, as they say in the business world. Fantastic great, ROI.
Great return on investment. And sorry, just to conclude on Heung-min Son, question has to be asked. Is Heung-min Son the best Asian footballer we've ever seen in football?
Ooh, that's a great question.
You mentioned Ali Dia earlier, so I'm just like...
Ali Dia was different, though. It was a different generation, and
that's
also...
That's the thing. It's like, how do you compare the generations?
He didn't play, though, in the Prem either. Like, he stayed in Iran. Like, I think it's so much more difficult. International level, Ali Dia is better. But if we're looking at overall career, Sonny has done, like, everything. Like, he's able to...
Besides winning trophies. Even Ali's won trophies.
Open the wound. no, but he's. I think it's fair.
Suki
to say.
Can't hack that. He can't hack that statement. He just can't hack it at all. So South Korea are now going to win the Asia Cup, and Hamza's going to be shutting his face up. That's what Suki's going to say.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to. They're good, but
they're very good.
It's going to be tough. I don't know. Japan's looking spicy. But yeah, there's a couple Japanese players that also come to mind. I mean, remember Kasugi Honda, what a ledge. Different kinds of players, though, right? So I think it's fair to say Son might be the best Asian footballer of all time as of right now. That can change. I hope he does win something soon, though, because I know that kind of gets tacked on to him and a lot of Spurs players. They've never won a trophy. I mean, look at Harry Kane. That's like that. Like, Harry Kane drags that around with him. It's unfortunate. But he really stepped up this season. And I think Spurs were worried who was going to step up for Kane. They've kind of been scoring by committee, but Son is the main man there. And it's great that he kind of was able to do it in such a, it seems like, easy manner.
He's taken on the captaincy as well, which is absolutely fantastic. It's like a duck to water being the captain for Son as well.
I'm not going to lie, though. If I'm a Spurs fan right now, I'm worried. Like, it depends how far he goes, but he is so important. And also, they've been dealing with so many injuries. So it'll be very curious to see how Spurs fend. But in terms of Son, yeah, I think it's no doubt he's definitely number one, maybe number one of all time. And I can't believe you don't like him.
Gotta respect him, but I don't like him. I don't like his antics as a footballer. It's very childish, in my opinion, as well. But yeah, Suki, round us off on Heung-min Son before we wrap up and give our predictions for the Asia Cup. Realistically speaking, who's going to win a trophy first? Heung-min Son or Harry Kane?
Ooh.
First.
The thing is, I think Bayer Leverkusen have got Bundesliga on lockdown, and I think Champions League is going to be a tough one for Bayern as well.
I hope so, for Bayer Leverkusen's sake.
But the thing is, I'm resting my laurels on South Korea to do so well, right?
So. or Spurs winning the FA Cup as well, that would be crazy.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen when we just got Drew against Man City and Son's in Asia, Qatar. So I think you'll probably have to be Kane, mate. I think Kane will probably get his trophy before Son, yeah. But again, look, I've said this earlier today, I mean, this guy deserves a statue outside the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium when it comes to Son. I mean, this guy has just carried this team constantly. And I mean, the way that he's played as well, for all these different types of managers, he's never thrown his toys at the pram. He's never had an attitude problem with anyone. He's just got on with it, cracked on, and just performed at his best ability. You know, it's kind of what I said before about a working professional. And you get a lot of that with your South Korean players. With Park Ji-sung was the same at Man United, working professional. Was that? Fit the team, the system, the tactics, they're part of the team. It's never about just myself. It's not a singular approach like Jadon Sancho, where it's all about me. It's all about the team effort.
Nah, I'm liking
that. The jabs are nuts.
I'm liking it. I'm liking it. It's good to see as well. But no, everyone, thank you very much for joining in our top five Asian players right now. I've go back from five to number one. At number five, Sara, who did we have at number five? Remind me.
Kaoru Matoma,
the dribbling wizard, who's absolutely fantastic. And I think Suki actually read his thesis last year as well on dribbling as well. Suki is an avid Japanese reader, which is good to see as well. You definitely said you were looking to read it, so I'm not sure if you
may. Honestly, if you've got some spare time, have a read into some of the paragraphs that he actually typed up, because
Is it translated?
It's translated. You can get it translated. You just copy and paste it into your translator. Yeah, I mean,
Google Translate
some of the stuff. I mean, he's working out angles and metrics around where you expect a right back to be if they're near the 18-yard box and which way
where you place your knee when you're dribbling on your front foot. That's crazy talk. Sorry, are you going to do that when you play football next time? Wonder.
I'll read it, and all of a sudden, I'll become transformed.
It'll be like Sherlock Holmes. It'll be crazy. But yeah, Kaoru Mitoma is at number five for us as well. Number four, Sarah. Which country did we go to, and which position did we go for this iconic footballer?
We went to Iran, and we went for the striker position. And it's
at least one of our home nations are represented in this list, which is great to see. So,
Sorry, guys.
It's okay. Sunil Chetri is not as good just yet as well, unless he turns up for India in this tournament as well. But yeah, Mehdi Taremi, absolute baller, underrated footballer as well, and a really good target man for Porto and for Iran as well. Number three, this is where Suki joined in on this one as well. Which centre-back did we go for who's absolutely killing it right now for South Korea and for Bayern Munich, Suki? Where did we go?
We went to Kim Min-jae from Bayern Munich for South Korea.
Nicely done, but we didn't go to Saudi Arabia, unfortunately, because that could have been a good segue into Saudi Arabia, but he was never going to go ahead of Kaoru Mitoma. At number two, we end up going for, as a majority vote, I should say, went for Takefusa Kubo, the Real Sociedad winger, who I picked in a few drafts, and I've really enjoyed watching in La Liga this season and in the Champions League. And like Sara said, he's going to have a field day against PSG in the round of 16 coming up in February when he's back from the Asia Cup. And number one, Suki, finish off. Who did we have at number one as the best Asian player in the world right now?
We went with Heung-min Son, Heung-min Messi, Son Aldo, Son Perion, as the expression says, the guy, number one, numero uno.
Numero uno. If only you knew how to say number one in Korean, Suki, that would be absolutely crazy, which would be very good. No, well, they do that, don't they? For love.
Yeah.
It's the little heart.
The little heart. So, Suki Hearts Human Son as well. There we go. I've got him doing it. It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. But everyone, thank you very much for listening to our very special Asian podcast focusing on Asian football. We will be talking about Asian football on a daily basis and the African Cup of Nations over this winter period, because there's two incredible tournaments. And even if the football media companies aren't covering it, we're definitely going to be covering it as well. And again, excited and passionate about football from around the world, which is what we do and what we love and appreciate. But Suki, thank you very much for your time today. Good to have you back on and looking very good in your crystal clear HD tablet screen. And Sara, good to have you back on. And again, my friend, it's absolutely fantastic. And I'm ready for our next draft, whichever it may be, because an Asian draft may be the death of this podcast if we were to try. It'd be so, so difficult to do an all-time Asian draft with a few of us as well, which is great. But everyone, thank you very much for listening. Everyone, thank you very much for watching. Take care, and we will see you next time.